This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. The Old Trailblazer coming out again at this time, riding old Dan. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Come on, Dan. And we're going on down the road. Someone sent me $100 the other day and said, get old Dan a sack of feed, that Trailblazer, and also get him a new pair of shoes. Maybe worn out, clippity-clopping down that road. So if you would, help me with the broadcast. I appreciate it. Folks do that thing. Folks send me $1. Say, put that on the Trailblazer broadcast. I had a prisoner the other day. We have a prison ministry we send Bibles and good books to. And this prisoner wrote me and sent me about $4 or $5 worth of stamps, first class stamps. And I appreciated that. That's all he had. And he said, put this on me. And he knows we can use stamps because postage just went up. And he sent me a book of those forever stamps. And never, the postage is always good for first class postage. But this is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. We bring you to this study now, along with demon possession. We're bringing you a study on the demon holidays. And we were looking at all of those festivals and things that people go into in our last study, speaking about how that these things dishonor the Lord. During these festivals and celebrating Christmas time, the birth also of the Queen's son, gifts were carried to and fro. Back there in those early years, gifts were carried to and fro. We may have never imagined that, but it was. History tells us. Banquets were given with all the frivolity and uproar and drunkenness. During that time, men of God strove to stem the tide, but in spite of all their efforts, the apostasy went on until the church, with the exception of a small remnant, was submerged under pagan superstition. Christmas, a pagan festival, is still a pagan festival. The very name by which Christmas is popularly known today is Yule Day. It proves it's pagan and came from Babylon. The word Yule is the Chaldean word for infant or a little child. Did you know what they call this week of festivity back there in Babylon in those early days? They call it the Drunken Festival. The Drunken Festival. Oh, you know what crosses my mind? We have much going on today in today's world. It grieves my heart. I read the papers quite often, and I read of all the how many folks are arrested for drunken driving. I read that in the papers almost every day here, and we have a fairly small community. And yet, our folks on Christmas time, New Year's time, how much that multiplies. And then folks are killed. Folks are killed because of drinking, equated with Christmas, my friend. Be going down the road singing White Christmas or Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas, drunk as a skunk. My friend, do you see the falseness or the frivolity or the perverseness of those things? Do you? But they called it the Drunken Festival. We could do that same thing today now, or described as a day of misrule. The misrule, they met together, celebrate the birth of the Queen's son, which was the worship of the sun god. Now listen, let me ask you. You hear the Old Trailblazer? Maybe you don't agree with much I say, but where do you stand? Where do you stand? Can you not let your children come up knowing the truth, my friend? Are you worshiping Christ or worshiping the sun god under the pretense of it being the Lord? That what was called Babylon, and that's exactly what we have today. Christmas week is nothing but a week of revelry and drunkenness, and God wants his people to have nothing to do with it. He tells us in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Furthermore, candles, a Christmas tree, the giving of gifts, mistletoe, all came out of Babylon. Let me stop here and recommend a good book. You know I do that oftentimes. I've been recommending a book by Brother Clarence Larkin on the spirit world, and I still like for you to order that book. We've sold quite a few of them. But this book that I want to recommend today is by Alexander Hislop. It's The Two Babylons, or Papal Worship. Alexander Hislop, H-I-S-L-O. I wish it was in the hands of everyone who hears the Old Trailblazer. So, my friend, do you see how our churches are rapidly becoming pagan because they're taken up with Christmas, lock, stock, and barrel? I'm glad the Lord opened my eyes. As I told you before, we had nothing to do that with. But I guess if we'd have had money, we'd have probably done the same thing. And we didn't go to church. My family didn't go to church. My dad and mother didn't. And my mother went once in a while when she could catch a ride. But we didn't go. I've told you that story before. But my friend, I want my people, you out there who call this your church, I want you to be a separated people. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, let me ask you this question. Let's just be plain, up forward, straight forward. Should a born-again believer celebrate Christmas? Would you let that soak in? Should a born-again believer celebrate Christmas? Let me put it like this. Should born-again believers celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus with millions who make no profession of faith in the blood of the Lamb and who despise and reject the Lord? My friend, when you know that the ever brothel and honky-tonk and bistro is singing Blue Christmas, Merry Christmas, White Christmas, all of those Christmas about the birth of our blessed Lord. But listen, should you celebrate that, yet deny Him in works and testimony? Is it fitting that born-again believers should unite with the enemies of Christ in a round of fleshly gratification? Should we join those who cast our Lord out in drunkenness and revelry in the celebration of the birthday of the Lord? The answer is found in Exodus 23:2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. I can speak for myself. As old Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's my stand, brother. That's my stand. What you going to do? I don't fuss with you. I don't take issue with you. You tell me that you see no harm in it. That's between you and the Lord, my friend. Oh, but listen, I've seen some conscientious mothers raise this question. Don't you think we ought to give the children a good time? They don't understand. Let me ask you this question. Is it necessary to drag the holy name of our blessed Lord down to the low level of fleshly gratification and drunkenness and show the kiddies a good time? Just like I was telling you about my dad making eggnog and celebrating it with his friends in our neighborhood and the children looking on and even being given a taste of that stuff back then. Well, how can you see anything wrong with it if my dad does it? Must be all right. Must be all right if dad does it. My mother never would partake of it, thank the Lord. But my friend, what does it do to your children? Oh, God's word says, bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And why should we dishonor the name of Christ in such manner under the pretense of showing them a good time? There's 364 more days in the year during which we can give gifts to our children. I praise the Lord that my wife and I came under the ministry of Pastor Shelton back there when our children were very, very, very small. And I can say that we never put up a Christmas tree in our house all of those days. My children are grown now, have grown grandchildren. But I can say my family, they do not partake of those things, my friend. No, sir. But listen, 364 more days. I'm not even against giving children gifts and making them happy. We have birthday parties. We make them happy. And we do for them. But when they get old enough to understand just a little bit, you begin to teach them that Christmas is a demon holiday. Now, let's look again. Many of our folks worship in a different angle at His giving gifts. In exchanging gifts, we're not bringing gifts to Christ, are we? A list is kept from year to year, and those whom gifts will receive gifts will be sent to. And this will become an expensive affair over a period of time. Now, I know that. I've seen folks struggle, and I mentioned in our last study or two about in our modern present day now, we have this easy getting money on a credit card. The stores make every effort to get you to put those things on your credit card. And come January and February and early March, those bills begin to come in, my friend. Oh, where is the frivolity then? Where is you sit up at night, burn the midnight oil, trying to rob Peter to pay Paul and go in debt, go to the bank, go to the finance company, borrow money to pay off those high interest credit cards. But my friend, take some advice from an old fool like the old trailblazer. Cut those things up, my friend. Cut those cards up. Surely my wife and I have a credit card, and when we buy gas on it and much other things, because it's dangerous to carry a purse with you, no, she don't carry a purse. We just carry a credit card and driver's license when she goes to the store. But when that bill comes in, we pay it. No, sir. You ever see what the interest is on those cards? If you don't, you ought to take a look at it. And I know folks that take one credit card and pay off another one. So my advice, and folks ask me for advice, and I made a vow not long ago to myself not to give advice unless people ask me for it. But because some folks don't appreciate my advice. But my friend, especially when they don't agree. But I tell you, young folks, don't get in that trap. Don't let Satan trap you into going into debt, buying those gifts and all those things, and then have to go borrow money to pay for it. And a lot of hard times come, and you lose your job. And what you gonna do then? Bankruptcy. Oh, my friend, and all that is a disgrace, a sin, and a disgrace to do that thing. So I'm pleading with you, pleading with you. All of those things become a burden. You say, if I don't send gifts, my friends will think hard with me. Well, let them think hard with me. They call me stingy. Well, let them call you stingy. I say frankly to you, before that time arrives this year, let them know. Those whom you've been exchanging gifts with over the years, let them know. By letter, by word of mouth, email, fax, whatever, that you come to see and to understand that the scripture, there's no such a scripture that we should be celebrating Christmas. It's simply pagan worship. And that Christmas being a demon manifestation, you'll not have anything to do with it from this day forward. Now, my friend, be up front. That's what you need to do. Don't. That way they won't send you nothing. Oh, no, they won't send you nothing. No, they won't send you nothing, my friend. But look, we're going to look at another side of Christmas in our next study, looking at so-called Christmas cards with a verse of scripture on them. My friend, I believe in sending cards. Get well card, sympathy card, thank you card, but not a Christmas card with John 3:16 on it. They may be sitting around drinking and all of that when they open your card and they're going to see John 3:16. My friend, that's an abomination. We don't need to drag our Lord down into that gutter. No, we don't need to do that. That's hypocrisy. But my friend, ask the Lord to let you see for yourself, not just my word, not the old trailblazer's word, but ask the Lord to let you see the fallacy, the terrible thing, all because of so-called Christmas. And I believe you'll be better off for it. I know you'll be better off financially. And if your folks think hard about you, they'll get over it. And if you get a chance to talk to them, if you know the Lord, if you're a Christian, just tell them simply that the Lord don't honor that. No. But listen, the old trailblazer, time runs out so quickly. I wish you'd go there to our website and write me, and I'll send you that book by Pastor Shelton, Christmas, a Demon Holiday. And if you would, look at our website, and you can find a lot of information there about the old trailblazer. Leave us a picture there of the old trailblazer. And then remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. I wish I could hear from some of you. Write me and tell me what you think. And you don't have to be... Don't be fussing. You can say, I honestly don't agree with you. And we'll talk about those things. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.